It's good to see you. And I shouldn't yell, but it is so good to be with all of you this morning. I hope you're well. During the broomball announcement, I know all you adults got excited and someone said, "Why don't us adults do that?" I'm just going to tell you, because we all would get hurt and wouldn't be able to provide for our families if we played broomball. And not only would we get hurt, then when your coworkers said, "How'd you get hurt?" you would have to tell them that you tried to play broomball with a bunch of teenagers. And that's why we're not playing broomball. Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome. But it does sound fun. So take some pictures so us adults can see it. Yeah. Awesome. Well, it is so good to see all of you this morning. Man, worship was awesome, wasn't it? And praising God, it's so good. I love doing that corporately together. And it's so good. We've been doing this series on worship for about 6 weeks, and it's been awesome. And so we're going to get back into some praise and some worship later on in the service. And so this week, we had a special worship rehearsal with our worship team because we just wanted to, just get all of our ducks in a row. And how many of you know it's good to make a plan? Yeah. Yeah. Amen? But there's a scripture in the Bible, and it says, "Man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And so we had a great plan. Everything was going according to plan until our drummer's wife decided to go into labor. Can you believe that? About 8 to 10 days early. So Mackenzie and Colton had their little baby girl this morning at like 4:30. And just doing the rough math, pray for that girl, because we're talking like 18 to something hours of labor. So, no, thank you. But what a gift she is now. And she's pretty cute. I have a picture of her on my phone. I just got it. Steve, our worship leader, was all ready to lead worship. And he played drums this morning. And Noah came in and did an awesome job. So thank you guys for being flexible. And, man, we're excited for what God's doing. And I hope you are too in your hearts and in the life of our body. It's a good season. Just a couple more things. Pastor Ryan did announcements. Many of you a few weeks ago have ordered like shirts and stuff and swag gear. It's still coming. We had a little or medium-sized bump in the road, however you want to describe it. And so we had a little break, a little low moment, and we're back on track. We had to work a few things out with our vendor, and so it's all coming. So for the 54 items that are still out there, don't worry, it's coming, and you're going to be excited to get it. So there's your announcement. Well, it is good to see a lot of you. I want to acknowledge Justice this morning. She's here from California, and her fiance. It's good to see you guys. Pretty cool. She was here for a couple years, and now she's in California, but it's good to see you. So fun. Well, 6 weeks ago, this church, Generational Hope, went on a journey. And maybe many of you might know, some of you might not. Growing up as a young man in Enumclaw, I really loved to read. Like, reading was my thing. And I like to play sports, too, but reading was kind of my jam until about maybe sixth grade. And I won't name names. One of them is my brother. They started calling me names for reading a lot. Like nerd. I'm not going to name names. I'm not bitter.
I apologize.
I'm not bitter. Oh, you apologize later. Don't you worry. I'm not done yet here. I was a reader until about sixth grade, and then, you know, it wasn't the cool thing to do. And so I switched from reading to now reading my favorite types of books, which I like to call them, whatever your book, the Lord of the Rings Cliff Note Edition. Okay, anyone else Cliff Note Edition people? Right? I just want the synopsis of what happened. And so many of you have been engaged with what God's been doing here through the last 6 weeks. For those of you that aren't, you're going to get the Cliff Note version today. And so you're like, oh, perfect. I didn't need to get involved in a community group because you're going to cover it anyways. Not so fast, right? Next time, get involved in a community group because you're going to grow in relationship. But this morning, we're going to put a bow on our 6-week series, A Life of Worship, that we've been talking about. And I have so been blessed as we've been going through this series because it's been awesome. And it's been so cool to hear the testimonies. Just like Amy shared earlier, I've heard, you know, dozens and dozens of testimonies of what God has done through this 6 weeks. And, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe we just got to grow. I've asked about those dozen people if they would like to share a testimony. And they like to tell me in private, right? They don't want to tell it in front of a couple hundred people, and that's okay. But God is doing cool things in people's hearts, and I love it. So I'm just going to speak just for a little bit this morning, then we have communion, and we're going to worship again, and I've got a testimony that we're going to share. But we went on a journey 6 weeks ago, and it was a couple reasons we went on a journey. Number one, in this journey, we wanted to discover one of the reasons that you and I were created. Okay, and you and I were created to worship the Creator, right? Jesus, okay? We were created so that our lives would bring Him praise. Another reason that we went on this journey is we wanted everyone to understand that we're all worshipers. Because it's very easy for us to point fingers on Sunday morning at the 8 people that are up here and say, they're the worshipers. You know what I'm saying? But the fact is, this morning, we're all worshipers, right? We all have a place and a part to play when it comes to our corporate worship with Jesus. And then the last thing that we really went on this journey for is so that we could understand that there is power when we come together corporately as a body to lift up the name of Jesus. Okay, it's one thing when I'm screaming my head off in worship in my car, driving my truck, or in the shower, but it's a totally different experience when we come together and we release our worship corporately. Amen? Yeah. So, that's why we went on our journey. Isaiah 43, verse 7 says this. It says, everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Okay, we need to understand a few things today and this morning. People all the time are saying, I want to know what God's will is for my life. Anyone ever say that before? All the time, especially when I was a teenager, it was like every other day. I just want to know what God's will is for my life. And I think now, hindsight, being a wise adult, what I meant by that is I want to know who I'm going to marry and I want to know what kind of job I'm going to have. Right? If all you single people, I know what you mean. When you say, I want to discover God's will for my life, you're thinking about your spouse and you're thinking about your job. And I get that. But the Bible says in the scripture that you and I, one of our purposes for being created was for God's glory. Okay, you were created to give God glory through your life. And I was thinking about, I was watching my son play lacrosse, and I was just talking to this guy from the other team, and he ended up being the head football coach for the Sumner team, and we started talking about platforms. Okay, each one of us has a platform, right? As an athlete, they have platforms, right? As a teacher, you have a platform. As a coach, you have a platform. As a milkman, you have a platform, right? Your influence, our sphere of influence that we have is whatever we're doing, what we're called to do, whether you're a teacher or milkman or a pastor, you have a platform, okay? And through that platform, God wants you to give Him glory through your life. Amen? So people say, man, if I were just a minister, if I was just a pastor, I could touch people's lives. Here's the truth of the matter. I am a pastor. And I do think I like to, you know, I touch people's lives. But my wife is a hairdresser. When my wife does her little hairdressing magic and she touches people's head, I don't know what happens, but they open up their heart and their life. And they begin to, I don't know what it is. Sometimes she's like, how was your day? I was like, oh, it was good. What'd you do? I studied. And what'd you do? Oh, I got to pray for someone in my salon because I touched their head and then they started crying and opening up. Their whole life story came out. I'm thinking, man, I should have been a hairdresser. No. Right? But whatever platform, whatever we find our hands doing, that's a platform for God to get glory in our life. Okay, another thing we talked about is that our life can reflect a greater image. Okay, the Bible says that you and I were created in the image of God. And how many of you know the image is only as good as the picture? Right? You know what I'm saying? People, one of my favorite pictures I have, it's a picture of Mount Rainier. In the reflection in the lake underneath Mount Rainier is fantastic. Only because the mountain is fantastic, right? It's the reflection is beautiful because it reflects a beautiful image. You and I bear the image of God, and we reflect that image. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty challenging, right? That's pretty encouraging. Oh, man, I have the ability to reflect the image that I put on. Hopefully, that's the image of Christ Jesus. So in this series, you're going to get six things really quick this morning. The Cliff Notes. We learn this. Number one, that we were created for God's presence. I want you to poke your neighbor and say, you were created for God's presence. Okay, God's presence is for you. Okay, we talked about, people say, well, God is everywhere. Okay, God is everywhere. Okay, that is God's omnipresence. So when we say God is everywhere, that means he's everywhere. Okay, but then when we gather together on Sunday mornings or anytime in a home on Wednesday nights where God's people are there, his manifest presence shows up. Because there's two or three people that are gathered in his name, there he is. So he's everywhere because he's God. He's where his people are when they gather together. But here's the beautiful thing is there's a personal presence where God wants to be where you are. In your personal walk with him, he wants you to be in his presence. It's personal, right? We read in Genesis, it says Adam used to walk and talk with God in the cool of the day. He was created first and foremost to have fellowship with God. You know, I was reading this week out of Psalms 51 and talking about the presence of God is so important. David, King David, understood this. He understood that he was meant to be in God's presence. Some of his greatest failures, and if you read the Bible or know anything about King David, you know that he was, number one, a man after God's heart. Okay, that's where I want to be. But the second thing you might know about King David is he was a hot mess. Right? He was a complete, at times, mess. He was, you know, committing adultery, and then he was trying to kill the husbands of the lady that he slept with. Okay, he was a disaster. But he understood this in Psalms 51. This is after one of his, after one of his great sins. And he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and don't take your spirit from me. But restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. King David understood that he was supposed to be in God's presence and that he was created. If so much so that he said, God, don't take your presence from me. Don't leave me. Don't depart from me because I'm called to be in your presence. You know, I just felt this morning, I think a lot of times when we sin, when we fall short, the enemies of our soul want us to stay away from the presence of God. Right? Shame, condemnation, all sorts of things that said, hey, you messed up and now you can't be in God's presence. But the fact is, those are the moments that God wants to make his presence so known to your life. When we have blown it, when we have messed up. We've said this before, and one of our core values of our church is we want to be known as a church that hosts God's presence. I know that in God's presence, wherever God is, things are going to change. Wherever his presence is, they're going to change. So we can sing and sing and sing, which singing's good, right? Some of you like, I don't sing. Singing's good. We could preach and preach and preach. We could counsel and counsel and counsel, and those are all great things, but if the presence of God isn't there, we're not going to change. Or we're going to change just a little bit for a little time. As a young man growing up, I still remember the moment that I felt the presence of God for the very first time. I remember it so distinctly. And that moment has shaped the rest of my life until this day. Because it was one of those moments, and it wasn't because everything was just right, but it was when the presence of God showed up. In Exodus 33:15, Moses says, if your presence doesn't take the lead, then let's call this thing off. Okay, that's a paraphrase. But he understood the power of God's presence. And as Christians, if God's presence doesn't lead us, well, then let's just call this thing off right now. We also learn this. We earn that thankfulness and gratefulness is the way to enter God's presence. Think about it for a minute. In the natural, when my kids are ungrateful for the things they have, as a parent, what do? I might withhold. They get something and they're like, ah, Merry Christmas, I'll play with the box instead. I'm thinking, why did I buy that for you? Right? There's no gratitude. But as a parent, when my kids are grateful for the things that I've gotten them or do for them, and they're like, hey, Dad, thank you. Naturally, it makes me want to, like, do it again. It makes me want to open my heart up to them. And the Bible is pretty clear. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. You want to feel God's presence, then enter that way. Yeah. Number two, everything changes in his presence. Think about that for a minute. Everything changes in the presence of God. Over and over again, when the people of God gathered together, whether it was two of them or 2,000 of them, everything changed when the presence of God showed up. Think about it. Walls fell. Okay, the walls of Jericho fell when the people of God praised. What else? Enemies were defeated, right? 2 Chronicles 20, we talked about King Jehoshaphat, right? They said, we don't know what else to do. Our enemy is surrounding us, but our eyes are upon you, O God. Okay, so walls are going to fall in God's presence. Your enemies are going to be defeated in God's presence. Okay, our soul is comforted in God's presence. Come on, remember the story of King David? He was serving King Saul, and he would play music for the king. And what would happen? The king was agitated, but the presence of God showed up, and he was peaceful. Right? So we're comforted in the presence of God. Okay? Heaviness vanishes in the presence of God. In Isaiah 61, it says he gives us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. So when you're feeling heavy, then get into God's presence, and he's going to give you a garment of praise. Acts 16, chains are broken. Now, in Acts 16, we have literal chains that are broken. Paul and Silas's chains. But in my life and in your life, that you can break spiritual chains and bondages as you begin to praise. Okay, and then in Acts 12, captives are set free. Okay, and this is the story of Peter. And he was put in jail for his faith. And it says the people of God got together, his family, his friends, his church, and they began to praise and intercede for what God, that God would do a miracle. And what happened? He was released. So in our lives, captives are going to be set free. You're going to find freedom in your life wherever the presence of God is. Man, and that's just like the things I could fit on that slide. Okay, I could go on and on. But the fact is, when God's presence shows up, everything changes. I'm going to invite here right now. I'm going to invite Chad Hansen to come up, and he has a story. He's going to say, I don't know if I have one. But I want you to know that this man is awesome, and God is doing a work in his heart. And so I'm just going to let him talk. You want these?
No, I have more.
Okay.
I got 3 pages. Oh, I got 2.
I do.
Good morning. We go through life where we think we can solve everything ourselves, and that's where I've been off and on throughout my life. And the Lord, there's times in our life where the Holy Spirit is working within us, and He was talking with me and sharing with me, and I wrote it all down on my phone, and I texted it to Justin, and I thought, all right, these are really good. Justin can share these in church. Then I got a phone call back saying, hey, can you meet me for lunch? So we had lunch, and if you ever get that phone call, you need to really sit down and pray about it, because you may be in the same situation that I'm in. So anyway, as we were going through the book, one of the lessons that we had one night, the Holy Spirit was really doing a lot in my heart and stuff, and he says, well, for those of you that have not been in the classes, I just want to just go through some stuff here and just kind of paraphrase the story about Paul and Silas. This story told in Acts 16 through 40, and I'll summarize it for you because it's really long and I don't like reading all those really hard words. So, but anyway, a slave girl that was a fortune teller followed Paul and Silas around for many days saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the ways of our salvation. Paul, finally having enough and turned to her and said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very hour. But when the master, that is the evil spirit that he casted out. But when the master of the little girl saw that his prophet was gone, he had Paul and Silas dragged into the marketplace to the authorities. They were brought to a judge and convicted of their faith. Only because of their faith they were convicted. Their clothes were torn off and they were beaten with rods, not once, but several times. Then they were thrown into prison. And the worst part of the prison they were thrown in was the dungeon and fastened their feet into shackles. Paul and Silas were praising and worshiping God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so hard that the prison doors were opened and every chain was loosened. The prison master awakened, and seeing the prison doors, thinking that all the prisoners had left, he had drawn a sword and was about to kill himself when Paul said, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. The prison master got a light and went in. Fell and trembling before Paul and Silas, the prison master brought them out of the prison and asked, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Paul and Silas spoke the word to all that were in his house. The prison master took them, washed their sores and beat them immediately. Washed their sores. From the beatings, and immediately his family was baptized. He took them home, fed them, and rejoiced in his family. And when it was day, so that was all in one night, when it was day, the judge told the prison master to let the men go. So the prison master let them go in peace. So I was thinking about this, and there's lots of meanings that you can get out of this little story. But what really touched my heart was at that Bible study was faith. I was just thinking, I wonder what these two men of God talked about as they went through all of this. Walking down the road to their next adventure, I think it might have been something like this. Silas. I'm going to try to do both guys. Silas. That was a test of our faith. Paul, here we are in a place that does not want our faith, and we go around this place teaching the word of God. Silas, yeah, a little demon-possessed girl kept bothering us, so he got tired of her and are tired of it and cast it out of her. Very good, Paul. Our clothes were torn off, and we were beaten several times, then thrown into a dungeon, and our feet were bound. Silas would probably be back. Oh, that! But the cool part, we knew that the Lord had something in mind. I loved it when you started praising him. I joined in. Did you see the look on everyone's face when we started worshiping harder and harder? And the look on how scared they were when the earth started to shake? Paul, yes, but the Holy Spirit showed up. And there are more followers in our faith. God is good. Silas, yeah. You know, I wonder what the Lord will allow to happen in the next time he tests our faith. Paul, everything we do in God is good. We fear the worst storm we can ever be in when you have faith. Our faith is in him. Just continue to diligently seek him. So that's kind of like the two of them maybe walking down the road that I was going. So then I was wondering, I wonder what God thinks of this. Maybe something, or what God thought, maybe it was something like this. God, yeah, you know, I had these two guys on my team. They were great faith. Paul and Silas, I sent them into a place where they did not accept me at all. Allowed them to be beaten and thrown into prison. And still they had the faith to praise and worship me. If everybody had just a little faith. But think of this, if it weren't for the faith of these two men to praise and worship our God when they were at their worst, a little girl wouldn't have been saved. A man and his family wouldn't have been saved. The seeds wouldn't have been planted in a town where they hated the faith of God, and two men wouldn't have been strengthened because of their God was faithful and showed up. So when you are at your worst, it is the best time to worship and praise God. Have faith in the Lord in doing in that circumstances, showing others around the good when you worship and praise. There was a gal in our class, Jane. She said something like this, and I really liked it. It said, "When you're talking to God, when I'm talking to God, he is my father or my friend. When I worship the Lord, he is my king." Think about that the next time you worship. Praise and worship is surrendering yourself, letting the Holy Spirit prepare you for fellowship with God in which he can be created, which you were created for. Hebrews 11:6 in the King James Version. "But without faith, it is impossible to please. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." You must have the faith that he is. "And that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him." Just thinking of this, just think of this. We must have faith to believe in God. We must have faith to believe in Jesus, which is his son. Faith in what you need to give your spirit to the Lord through Jesus Christ. Now we need the Bible to continue to cleanse our souls and make us right in the Lord. Strengthen our faith and continue to do the Lord's work and diligently seek them. Last point, and this is the whole thing. This is what I kind of texted Justin. So all that story leading up to this. the Lord shared on my heart that night in the small home group. I thought if there is good in everything, as the Bible says, I'm going to need God's eyes to see. I thought, let it be my prayer. Lord, give me your five senses so that I may see others the way that you see them, so that I can hear others' words in the way that you hear their words. May I smell, feel, and touch the world as you do. May I speak to others the way that you speak to me, filling me with the love and joy, because everything is joyful in your senses. Let the joy of the Lord be my strength.
Man. So good. I tell you, those allergies, Chad, must be allergy season. That's good, man. That's so good. I love what God's doing. Man. But he said it. He said a lot. But we learn that our caves become refuge. They become a place of strength. Think of King David, right in that place, his worst place. It became the place of strength for him. Chad said this in a way. He said, God's best for you is on the other side of surrender. Right? We talked about surrender in what we can see. But God's best is on the other side of our surrender. Right? Like John 3:30, it says, God must increase and we must decrease. God's best for you is on the other side of surrender. I'm going to have the worship team come up now. And there, you guys can just begin to play. Like I said, we're going to worship a little bit at the end and we're going to do communion. Like I told you, you were going to get the Cliff Note version this morning. We continued in 5 and 6, the last 2 points I'm going to do together, and I'll probably do 6 first. But 5 and 6, we learn this: where God's river flows, there's an abundance of life. Wherever the river of God flows, there is life. In that, we are the house of God. Amen? We are the house of God. What that means is there's an expectation that arises when we join together. There's something that happens when I join my faith to your faith corporately, and when I believe that God wants to do great things, when you bring your faith and believe God wants to do great things, my little bit and your little bit becomes a river of God. And wherever the river flows, life happens. Things flourish. Things live. Psalms 46, verse 4 says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. You know, this week I met with some of our city leaders, our Maple Valley mayor, the boss of Maple Valley, the police chief of Maple Valley, and a couple others, and they pretty much said to the group of pastors, we need help. We need help because of this and that and that, and we could get into all sorts of politics if we wanted to. We're not gonna. But here's what I know, that we as the church have the ability to affect the atmosphere of our city by our prayers, by our praise. And as they say, we need your help, I know what they were meaning. They want me to rally my church to get behind what they're doing, and we're gonna do that. But what they don't know, what they were asking, is I'm gonna release this church to pray the Spirit of God over our city and allow prayer to break walls that they're experiencing, because they're experiencing some walls. And as we release the river of God, we're gonna believe there's life, amen? We have a part to play in the kingdom. So here's what we're going to do. We're gonna take communion today, and Pastor Ryan's going to come. But I'm just going to ask everyone to stand up this morning. And I'm just going to pray corporately, like me praying out loud. And we're just going to do that really quick before communion comes. But I want to pray for our city this morning. I want to pray for Maple Valley this morning, because Maple Valley might need a lot of things, but Maple Valley needs a dose of the kingdom of God. And so we're going to release that this morning. So would you pray with me? And then we're going to take communion. So Father, right now, Father, we just release. It says that we have a chance to join into the river of God. And wherever the river of God flows, there's life. And so Father, right now, we just bless our city of Maple Valley. Father, we thank you for our city. Father, your word says to pray for our city, for as our city prospers, so will we prosper. And so, God, right now we lift up the government officials, we lift up the school officials, Father, we lift up the chamber officials, Father, we lift up every person and influence of our city, Father, and we just say, bless them. Father, speak to them, encounter them. Father, we declare that this city is the city of God, that this city has a plan and a purpose. Father, and we bless our city today. We thank you for our city today. Father, we release freedom over our city today. Father, we release breakthrough over our city. Father, where there's so much negativity in our city, Father, I release joy. We release, Father, your spirit. Father, where there's confusion, we say peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Ryan.